Well, we're in Genesis this morning, chapter 28, looking at the Father's blessing. Now, all of you that are fathers that are in here today, we're going to, of course, have the zero in on you today. But this message, not just for the men in this room that are fathers, but for all of us. Without doubt, you don't have to look far to understand that the family in our country is under attack. It's more than under attack. It is unraveling in many ways, and we see a lot of issues. Thank God for the wonderful testimonies we've seen across this platform today with fathers and sons and grandsons and all across this place. And there are great stories about family. I know the stories of some of these that have stood here today, and there's always story there, and it's not always easy. We come through issues and difficulty, but by the grace of God, we run that race. And the point today is that we finish well. I heard a gentleman say a few days ago to someone, said, you know, our dog is just like one of the family. The person responded to him and said, which one is he like? I'm afraid we find that to be true sometimes. We got some dogs hanging out with us, hadn't we? It's oftentimes like the old rhyme, that story that we used to always read about the three bears and coming in, and somebody ate my soup, and somebody ate my soup, and Papa Bear said that somebody ate his soup and he was upset, and the little girl bear and the little baby boy bear, somebody ate my soup, and they were just glaring at each other, and the mother came in, and to tell the truth of that story, she said, my soul, I hadn't even poured the soup yet. What are y'all fighting about? Oftentimes our families are ripped and ruined because there's warfare going on. But this morning, I want us to look at the blessing of the family. And Dad, it's up to you. God has given you the position of authority. He's given you the place of compassion. And your children need your blessing. An old African proverb says it this way. When an old man dies, a library is burned. Well, I'm here to tell you we ought to be reading every volume from good and godly men before their library is gone. And you can no longer read it because the day comes when that man passes off the scene. You have memory and you have other things, but you cannot go and let him touch you and speak to you, so you need to learn while the library is still readable. Gentlemen, you're writing a book, and you need to pass the blessing on to your children. In Genesis 28, we read about that. In Genesis 28, 1 through 4, the Bible says, so Isaac called Jacob, this is one of his sons, and he blessed him. And he charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and from there take to yourself a wife from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples. May he also give you the blessing, there's that word a third time, the blessing of Abraham to you and to your descendants with you, that you may possess the land of your sojournings which God gave to Abraham. Now, those of you that have been to Vacation Bible School know this story. Abraham, the father of our faith, Isaac is his son. Isaac has Jacob and Esau, and there's a war going on. And Jacob is the trickster. And he and his mama, Rebecca, are in cahoots. And they steal the birthright, and they steal the blessing. We find that in chapter 27. Jacob and Esau in a war. And there's issues, and we've got way too much war in our families today. Sibling against sibling. Husband against wife. Part of a family against another part of the family. I'm thrilled anytime I can do a wedding and everybody come and get along. But I'm telling you, weddings today are not easy. Because we have families that are put together in other parts, and there's marriage and remarriage and remarriage and divorce and remarriage and more and more. And you've got all kinds of people. You've got Jacob and Esau if you're not careful. The reason I share that is because the blessing of God given by a man is not always placed into an easy scenario. This is not easy. Jacob and Esau have been at war. Yet Isaac comes, he's been tricked by his own son. And now he sits down with the one that has been given the birthright. He's a twin, but second born, but the firstborn birthright has gone to him. And then the blessing has come because he's tricked his father to giving it to him. And now he sits with Isaac. And he blesses him. I want you to look at this. Isaac called Jacob. If I'd have done to my daddy what Jacob did to Isaac and my daddy had called me, I wouldn't have gone. Oh, there'd have been a reckoning day coming. The last physical whipping I remember from my daddy was because I said some things I shouldn't say. And he whipped me with a wire coat hanger. And I remember it till right now. I will never forget it. I don't have any tattoos on my body, but I have close to having one. That's the way I'm sure Isaac had to feel here. But he moved past the issues to bless his son. Look at it in verse number 1. He called him and he blessed him and he charged him about some issues. How do you, dad, how do you, granddad, how do you bless your children? Well, let me just give you four things that are involved in the blessing. Then I want to show you two places where the blessing is needed out of this text. The four ways you bless. Number one, blessing always involves physical touch. Now, if you're not big into touching your children, hugging them, you need to get over that. When Jesus blessed people, he touched them. He touched lepers. He touched blind people. He touched demons-possessed people. And he blessed them, and he touched them, and he kissed them. You can study the word kiss all through the Word of God. There's a lot of kissing going on in Scripture. It's okay. Take your sons and your daughters, gentlemen, and hug them and love them and touch them and bless them with your own hands. They need your touch. They do. Secondly, not only do you need physical touch, you need high praise, high praise. You remember when the Lord Jesus was walking, there came a booming voice out of heaven that said, "This is my beloved son, hear ye him." Let me tell you, when you're around your kids, you need to pick up the megaphone of high praise and bless them and put not only physical touch, but you need to put a verbal praise into their life. Well done. I'm proud of you. Now, grandparents are pretty good at this. Matter of fact, they're aggravating about it a whole lot of the time. But that's good. But it's the best if the grandparent is not just saying it about the grandchild, but the parent is saying it of the child. That you're putting high praise and value into that child. There's a third way to bless your children, not only with physical touch and high praise and verbalization, but thirdly is a picture of special future. The picture of special future. That you're saying to them, you will be a great, whatever it is, then fill in the blank and give them a great future verbally and tell them they're going to do well and bless them as they go. It may not be what you want them to do. Matter of fact, you don't raise them up in the way that you think they should go. You find out how God made them and you raise them up in the way they ought to go. And when you find the way they ought to go and they find the way they ought to go, then you bless them. In that, and help paint a great picture for them. There's a fourth way to bless them, and that is with active commitment. Active commitment. Friend, you got up this morning, and I'm telling you, your Father, your Heavenly Father, was active in His commitment. When you drew breath, it was because God gave it to you. And God was active in that. And dad should be the same. Dad should have active commitment with their kids. Show up. Be there. Be a part of their life. Get involved with them. You don't love from afar. You love up close in active commitment. Thursday night, I got home from Orlando and went straightway to deacon's meeting. And I've had, I don't know, I cannot tell you the number of pastoral peer friends that have called me this week. I had one call me last night. And I said to him, I said, guys, I was discouraged. I just thought, I'm going to be all right. I'm okay. I said, I know you guys, evidently you've got a suicide watch out for me. I'm going to be okay. But thank God they call on you. It's active commitment. You know, they don't just say, well, you know, I hope he's doing okay. I mean, they call on you. And I told the gentleman last night, he asked me, he said, how'd deacon's meeting go? I said, they love me up real good. Those gentlemen did for me what you did in here. They stood and applauded and hugged me and prayed for me and encouraged me. But I knew they'd do that because of what they did when my son was in the 10th grade. And I came to them because we meet in deacons fellowship on Thursday evenings. And I remember asking the deacon, I said, gentlemen, during this next year, I need to move deacon's meeting off of Thursday night to a different night. And they said, well, Pastor, why? I said, because my son is going to be playing JV football, and they play on Thursday night, and I'm not going to deacon's meeting while he's playing football. So I need y'all to move the meeting if you do that for me. I'm asking you to do that, but I want you to know that if you won't do that, you're going to have to meet without me. Because I've got a higher priority. And of course, they were so gracious, and we moved our meetings to Tuesdays and Sundays during that year. Because I knew they would do that because they said, Pastor, that's where you need to be. It is called active commitment. And when those children are there, when they're doing that, then you need to be, that's where the blessing comes. Those were tough days. See your kids doing things. And you go to more piano recitals than Quakers got oats. But it's active commitment. It's how you give the blessing. You must be present if you're going to bless. Isaac blessed Jacob with his touch, with his high praise. He told him that there is a future coming and you will do well. And he was actively involved. Now I want to share with you two areas today of specificity out of this text where dads need to bless their children. Number one, the first place where you bless them is that you bless them when they take a partner for life. When one of your children decides they're going to get married, you bless them. Now look right here. Look in this text. He said in chapter 28 and verse 1, he charged him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. You know, they've come from Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham did and brought his family and moved here. And they moved into Canaan with the Canaanites. But he said, don't you take a daughter of the Canaanites. You got to go back home. To Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and from there you take to yourself a wife from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. And God Almighty is going to bless you and multiply you in days to come. Now, I want to talk to you a few minutes here. I want to preach to you. Dad, I want you to hear me now. You are essential in the blessing when they take their life's partner. Now, I want you to notice that Isaac gave some instruction. He told him first who not to take. Now, when your kids begin to date and begin to think on those lines, you need to tell them there's some places they don't need to go. You need to explain to them there are certain areas in the spiritual realm in faith you do not get to become unequally yoked together, because I cannot and God will not bless that kind of union. But point them in a right direction to say, this is where you will find that life partner. Now move it up or ratchet it up a notch. Now they choose somebody. You gotta like them. I don't mean you do like them. I'm telling you, you gotta like them. It's not your choice. I wish that we all lived in that culture where the father picked the mate. But we don't live in that culture. Okay, I'm just making sure. And so your son goes out and chooses, your daughter goes out and is engaged and they're getting married, and you look and you say, Now let's just be honest. If you raise kids, there's no one good enough for those kids. There's no other family could raise a child that could come up to the standard that you're looking for. It doesn't exist, amen? I mean, after all, you've raised a perfect child. And this young adult now is just been lifted to that position that no one can measure up. Okay, let's just admit they can't measure up. But when your child decides, I love this person, you better go get your arms around that in-law. You begin to bless them and love them. And you begin to take those people into your family. And you bless them. You encourage them. You've given direction. You've told them not to marry outside the faith, and you've done all the teaching. But now they've decided they've become an adult. Let me tell you, you are to bless their union. I've had families where they couldn't do it, and they were married outside the faith, and understood it took great courage to do it. But when they come to that altar and to see that father, bless you, to bless you. Let me tell you, Dad's the reason our families are falling apart is because dads have become so disengaged to the process of marriage. And we've just given it over to mother and everybody else, and we've just said, well, just let them do the best they can. They don't need to do the best they can. The best they can won't get it done. They need your wisdom. They need your blessing. They need your intelligence and your knowledge and your life message in their life. And they need to know that you are pleased. They need to hear it. They need to know it. You need to put your arms around them and say, I love you, and I bless you, and I encourage you. The first place we find the blessing of God is the personal individual blessing, but then there is this blessing them when they take a partner for life. But now there's a second way that the father is to bless. Not only when they take a partner for life, but secondly, you are to bless them by providing a pattern of faith, a pattern of faith. Now look at this. Right here in verse number 3. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply. That's when the grandkids come. Amen. And you just go absolutely nutso and buy stuff and go crazy. Ronnie Floyd, who's my dear friend, pastor of First Baptist Church of Springdale. When I left Orlando driving back, he was headed to Disney World with his little granddaughter and going to the prince's house. And they were going to buy dresses and shoes. And I texted him on the way back up here. I said, is it hot and or expensive in Orlando today? And he wrote me back and just simply said, both. Said she came out and said, Papa, I want a dress and I want shoes. And he said, she already had them on. It was over. I was done. His son had been fruitful, multiplied. Now here he was. And he blessed her. And that little princess will never forget that day. Because Papa took her and loved her and encouraged her. We're to do that when they choose that partner for life. But more importantly in that is verse number 4, when he said, and he, God himself, will also give you the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham. Look at this. The blessing of Abraham to you and to your descendants with you, that you may possess the land of your sojournings, which God gave to Abraham. Here Isaac says to Jacob, listen, Jacob, it's important you get the right mate. You got to have the right mate. And man, he went off down. Have you ever noticed in the Old Testament, God hangs out at the well a whole lot when he starts giving wives? Have you ever noticed that? There's always running water when the woman shows up. I don't know what that is, but he had learned that because Isaac had been the same way. Abraham's servant had gone and gotten the wife, and he learned it, and he met her at the well and got with Laban, then worked 7 years and got the ugly schnauzer with pink eye, the Old Testament says. And then he had to work 7 more years, and then he got her. That's what the Bible said. She was not good to look at. He had weak eyes. And he married. Amen. He got the twofer. But then he learned not only from what had happened to his father Isaac in getting Rebekah, but now the blessing of Abraham. What was the blessing of Abraham? Hey, Isaac knew about the blessing of Abraham. Isaac had been up that mountain. You remember the story? Here was faith. God gives Abraham a boy. His name's Isaac. And then he tells him to take him to Moriah and kill him. Now here's what Isaac is saying to Jacob. He's saying, Jacob, the blessing is the pattern of faith. Isaac lived it. He had walked in it with Abraham. God had given Abraham a promise, and Abraham had given it to Isaac, and now Isaac was giving it to Jacob. They were passing the faith torch generation by generation by generation. Isaac had been to the mountain. God had provided the lamb. You know the story. Abraham held up the knife. He's about to plunge it into the heart of his son, but God stayed his arm and said, there's the ram caught in the thicket. Bring it here. And they sacrificed. Down the mountain then they came, and Isaac lived on. And then Isaac had Jacob and Esau. Now he's passing and say, listen, son, the same blessing to your granddaddy Abraham that came to me is coming to you. Gentlemen, hear me. Men of God, it is time for you to man up. It's time you put on your big boy britches. Quit saying, oh, well, let my wife do the faith. Your wife is not built to lead spiritually at your house. You and you alone will give an accounting when you stand before the judgment of Almighty God for passing faith to your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. It's you. And it's time some of us man up today. And we begin to pass the blessing of God to another generation. How do you do it? Let me tell you what's got to be in your life, or some markers that have to be in your life. I'll give you five of them. Number one, first thing you've got to be is a saved man. You'll never lead your family if you're not a saved man. I didn't ask you if you joined the church, didn't ask you if you'd been baptized. I'm asking you, are you a saved man today? A father can only bless his children with a pattern of faith if he's a saved man. Can you take me to a place and tell me of a time, Dad, when you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Jesus Christ, who died on an old rugged cross, came and died for you. God raised him for you. Yeah, we're all sinners, Romans 3:23, but we've been justified by the blood of the Lamb. Not only must be a saved man, secondly, if you're going to pass your faith on, the second marker, you need to be a churchman. A churchman. After you get saved, you ought to be a part of the church. There are men sitting in here today that ought to be a part of Olive Baptist Church, and you ought to lead your family to come do it. You ought to lead them right down here and say, Pastor, today we're going to link up with this church. I want to be a churchman. I want to love the church of the living God and be a part of it. You need to be a saved man. You need to be a churchman. Number three, you need to be a man of sacrifice. Sacrifice. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean you ought to give something. I don't mean just your money. I mean you ought to sacrifice your time. You ought to go on a mission trip. You ought to go to San Diego and help Brad. You ought to go to Cleveland and help Randy, our church planter in Cleveland. You ought to go on a mission trip to Mexico. You ought to sacrifice and go so they can see faith. See, your kids want to see faith. They don't need to hear it. They want to see it. You need to be a saved man. You need to be a churchman. You need to be a man of sacrifice. Number four, you need to be a man of faithfulness. Faithfulness. You need to be able to be counted on. Instant, in season and out of season. And number five, want you to hear me, men. You need to be a man of brokenness. I'm amazed. If I live till Halloween, I'll have been your pastor 20 years. I'm feeling pretty good. I think I'm going to make it. I am amazed, though, that I could preach in this church for 20 years and there be men who have never knelt at this altar. Now, I'll be the first to admit my preaching's not always that hot. But every now and then, God gives us a good word. And sometimes I'm not here. And I ask people to come preach that do a pretty good job. Oh, Mike gave a strong testimony last week. Strong word. I'm amazed how the Word of God will just come out here and sit on men, and men will sit on the Word. And they won't respond. I'm not saying you got to get up and run to the altar every time, but I'm, you know, once every 20 or 30 years just seems appropriate to me that God would touch our heart. Gentlemen, I want you to hear me. The day your son or your grandson sees you walk down this aisle and get on your knees in this altar, that's the day your grandson's going to say, you know, I don't know what Papa's down there talking about, but this must be serious business. It must really mean something to him when I see him broken and bent before God. He's my hero. Pastor of First Dallas for 50 years, Dr. W.A. Criswell. I read a story he told this week. This week I read the story he told. He didn't tell it this week because he's dead. In one of his sermons, I read a story of a gentleman that had a son that was in the far country like a prodigal. He came to the pastor and said, Pastor, I'd like you to pray for my son. because he's away from the Lord. He said this man was a doctor, a physician in the city. And he was a nominal Christian. I'm not even sure what that is. That's what Dr. Criswell called him. I think the Bible says they're carnal believers. He said he just showed up every like a Sunday morning every now and again. Gave a little money, but he was just nominal. And he said, I tell you what, sir. I will pray for your son, but only will I pray for him after I've prayed for you. And I'm going to pray that God makes your heart hot for Jesus. And if your heart gets right, I believe God will do something in your son. He said weeks went by. And one Sunday morning he gave the invitation, and here came that doctor down the aisle. He said he took the pastor by the hand and said, Pastor, I've come today to surrender my life as best I know to the Lordship of Christ. I've been saved, but I've just been away from the... And I've come to just surrender my life, my all, and pray for my son. And the pastor knelt and prayed with him. And when they stood, standing behind his daddy, was a boy that had come from the back row. And Dr. Criswell preached a 50-minute sermon with this title, Dad, Look Behind You. That's the title of the message. And he said, I got the title from telling the man in the altar, Dad, look behind you. And he said, when he turned, there was his boy, broken, repentant, getting right with God. What a Father's Day it'd be when Dad finally looks behind him to say, are you following in my footsteps? I'm here to tell you, they are following in your footsteps. The question is, where are you going? Bless them. Bless them when they take a partner for life. And bless them with a pattern of faith in your life that all might see Jesus is Lord.